Cosmos, this could be a program on the channel. Gosh, this is amazing. Okay. The more I dig into this topic of ancient cosmology, the more it seems, at least to me, clear and clearer and clearer that if we go back like 3,000 years, there were not religions competing with each other. There were different people, different tribes living in different areas of the world, and they shared a very similar cosmology, meaning view on the world, the cosmos, everything. You find it in India, you find it in Babylonia, Mesopotamia, you find it in South America, North America, up here in Scandinavia, in Africa, in China. And in my book, then, with the subtitle, A Journey Through the Three Worlds, I'm exploring, and I'm saying this is just the beginning of an exploration and research that can be developed very much. This three-tiered, three-dimensional, three-leveled cosmos, sometimes described as a lower world, the middle world, and the upper world, meaning the middle world, this physical world we're in now, and the upper world, heaven, and the lower world, the opposite of heaven, or whatever. And sometimes the lower world being that leading up to where we are now, and then higher and higher. Anyway, and seven tiers, seven heavens, seven worlds. Now, and they are aligned along a mountain, vertically generally, and that's what we find in the architecture of certain temples, including the ziggurats of Mesopotamia. You find it in these seven levels all over the place. Sometimes then described as we say the stairway to heaven, not in the naive sense of if we walk high up enough we get closer to God, but the symbolism that you raise above the lower levels of the physical with all that it entails and includes. Now, the importance of this is that we then, if we look back into history, but not just for historical purposes, but for finding the roots, a common root of our human civilization, as far as our worldview, cosmology goes, we can find it there. And this can be used to lift us again, you could say, from the secular world of religions fighting each other in this age of quarrel we're living in now. To unity and diversity, I could say. And I think that this is what you found back then. I'm now reading about just a little bit. I don't claim to be a historian or academic or anything. I'm just exploring clues that others can do the research. You find in the old Middle East that area there where Israel, you know, Israelis lived, and we're talking now like 3,000 years ago. The Mesopotamians took over that area, which was a strategic area Levant. Between then Mesopotamia, the superpowers there, Persia, Egypt, Assyria up north, and you had the Israeli people living there, and they were driven out and moved to Babylonia, because they were seen as troublesome for the Mesopotamians. And then the Persians came and helped them to get back again. And you had this temple of Jerusalem, the temple of Solomon. Which was then built like 3,000 years ago or so, and then eventually destroyed and so on. But the thing is, if we look then at that temple of Jerusalem, which is the one now they want to, you know, they're warring about that now. I mean, I don't know how much that is behind the crazy wars going on today, but I heard it explained, and I believe it, that there are Christians and Jews, probably Zionists, which are both Christians and Jews. Zionism is about reestablishing the, you know, the third temple in Jerusalem. Now, what is that temple in Jerusalem? And, you know, you have that temple there 3,000 years ago, and then you have a little bit, you know, east from there, not so far, in Mesopotamia, the ziggurats, the temples, 70 or 7 floors, steps up, representing the cosmos. And God on top. Now, how did the Temple of Jerusalem look like? Well, the way I understand it, it was rather horizontally tiered, with three main chambers or areas. The first one, the courtyard, which is the earthly realm, and then the further inner chamber, which is then the astral heavenly realm, and then the innermost chamber where the ark was, completely sealed off from the outside world, and that's the place where God is. So, yeah, we have a similar cosmology here. In one place, Babylonia, a bit to the east, it's three divided into seven upwards, vertically, and here you have it horizontally. Now, we can continue looking back at that history. We have the story of Moses being driven out of Egypt, and then this Temple of Solomon being built when the Israeli people came to the Levant again, Israel area there. And the interesting thing is that in Egypt, the way the same cosmology as we're talking about here was expressed there and built into their sacred shrines was in that horizontal way, that you had several chambers, one after another, leading into inner, and the innermost chamber. You know, I also learned when I read about old Egyptian esotericism and mysticism that they used such a system for initiations, gradual initiations. Now you can go to the next chamber, now you're ready for next initiation. You know, and then that led you higher and higher up in realization of reality, until you eventually come to the point of, you know, the presence and the existence of, you know, realm of God. And in India you find it as the seven lokas, where on top of Meru, the cosmic mountain, is the residence of God. And here in Egypt, you find that built into those shrines, more on a vertical level, a horizontal level, or rather that you go deeper and deeper and deeper in. And the innermost chamber is completely closed off from the influence of the material lower world. There's no sound, no light, no nothing. And there, God can be invited to be. And there, the initiate can eventually be. And it's all about different meditation practices, completely closing off the outside world and having direct experiences of, you know, leaving the physical and going to other worlds. Just as you find in these shamans up here and the Noids of Sweden, and you just do it with different methods. Now, that could be studied very much, this cosmology in Egypt, because if we now look at the pyramids, yep, the legendary pyramids, what do we find seen from this point of view? Well, we find three levels. Now here they are. Again, vertical, there is a lower chamber, there is what they call the Queen's Chamber and what they call the King's Chamber. These words come much later, and I think they are based on, derived from the speculation, the interpretation given by modern or later archaeologists that this was a burial, you know, grave place for burying the big pharaohs, the kings. However, no mummy or anything was found in the Great Pyramid. So, but we find the lower and the middle and the upper. And we find chambers which are completely outside of the physical world, you could say. I mean, the noisy, bright action going on here. Which both symbolically and practically serve that purpose of helping the initiate to, well, some say, you know, in that granite coffin-like thing that you find there in the so-called King's Chamber, that you spend time there and there's absolutely no sensory input. Some say there's special, it's made of special material that can cause a very pure, special sound. So, mysticism, esoteric, occult, whatever. But we find, if this is correct, well, it makes sense because you see there the Egyptian tradition being brought to the Temple of Jerusalem. Now later, and I would say something like 500 BC, that started that kind of unified worldview, that cosmology started turning into sectarian religions. Mostly, I guess, for political reasons. You know, Marduk, name of God in Mesopotamia, doesn't exist, said the Jews or the people of the other regions over there. And then you got the Christians coming in later, and yep, these other, they are of the devil or whatever, and there's a split between them, just as, yeah, and you find there in the story of the building of the Tower of Babel. There was a split between people and languages, couldn't understand each other anymore. And that story is interesting because it seems to be derived from and based on, at least similar to, an old Babylonian story where it was not about building a high tower so you can walk up to heaven, but about building a temple that served this purpose of bringing people to higher levels of consciousness and higher levels of existence, the lokas, as you call it in India. But then, yeah. Here we are today, and we have different religions, as you call them, that seem to have lost their original common, you could say, cosmological roots and center and source, which they are really, it's all about, to help us to see, understand the world. And our own place in the world. And when we have that, again, later in my book, I'm talking about just taking a little peek. Most of my book is simply about that. Giving, you know, collecting pieces of a big puzzle that others can continue. Laying out into a picture that is valid for everyone on this planet and that can serve to unify us humans again. This is very much what we need. We need a worldview that, yeah, allows for the differences between us, different cultures, languages, and so on, geographic locations. But where we can also see the universality, the cosmology, which is of course the same for all of us, deeper down or higher up. So that's what we need, and therefore I'm seeing that this can really help humanity at first by helping the intellectuals, the intelligent people, to see that, yes, let's give up this sectarian religionism and all that fighting about our differences and find the common denominator, the tree that we all are branches from. And the roots of that tree. And then we can live in peace because we see, yes, I'm one branch, you're another, but we are on the same tree. So these are very important topics here. And again, I am just a simple person sitting here from where I am looking out, connecting some dots and hoping that others will take up. And I mean, those who really know how to work scientifically and academically, meaning to actually find the facts. At least build the most plausible, well-informed, fact-based, theoretical understanding, but also, this is so far above religion, but also theoretical constructs. It's about a worldview that will live. And whether you have that as a very simple understanding or highly academic, intellectual understanding, it works in either case. You may express this cosmology in a simple symbol or in thick books going into great detail. And that's what we have here, and we have access to it all today. Just It's just a matter of getting into it, doing the job. And this temple of Eric, the temple of Eric Planetarium, is such an ingenious project to establish that cosmology, where people from all over the world, from all different cultures, just, you know, having to be a little bit open-minded, stepping out of these faith-based, sectarian, often politically powered religions. Seeking that which unifies us rather than what divides us. So, yeah.